Kenny is with me via phone. Thanks, Kenny, for being here this morning.
Always glad to join you, Katya. Happy New Year when we turn that corner in a few days.
Absolutely. And funny, because last week we spent the whole time talking about the big freeze and the big blizzard. And then, you know, in the last 10 seconds you said, oh, and next week it'll be a lot different by now. So here we are. We've had a couple days of, luckily, I would not say any rain, but it's just been, you know, hovering in the 30s. Everything's kind of wet and slushy. And then last night it went below freezing again. And now we're looking at some sun and maybe some nice wintry 20s conditions. So it seems like this winter we're just going up and down a lot.
Yeah, kind of the usual, maybe a little more up than typical. So it's turned into a much, we kind of came out of that deep freeze fast. And
yeah,
we saw temperatures climbing. Yeah, climbing right through the 20s and into the 30s across most of Minnesota, even the areas with a lot of snow on the ground. But, you know, I think the big story is just how much precipitation parts of northeastern Minnesota had this year is kind of amazing. There's a cooperative observer, National Weather Service Cooperative Observer, that's stationed 7 miles outside of Two Harbors. And they got, they're sitting at about, I think, almost 43 inches of precipitation on the year, which is very high. I'd say average would be more like 33 based on the last, on the current normal period from 1991 through 2020. So running 10 inches above normal is kind of a big deal. And a lot of this was snow at the beginning of the year, at the, you know, kind of in the late part of last winter, and then snow at the end of the year in the early part of this winter. That's where a lot of that precipitation came from. You know, some big rains also in April and May, but really wet, kind of really wet year in northeastern and parts of far northern Minnesota. And, you know, the rest of the state was pretty dry. So that's one big story.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the weather right now, I mean, you know, we're kind of in a transitional period. We've got our eyes cast warily to the southwest and a few days off watching another big winter storm that's going to form and come screaming out of Colorado. What I don't know, I mean, I know that Minnesota will get hit by this. Does this one have northeastern Minnesota? Does this one have northeastern Minnesota's number? I'm not sure. But it's, we're looking at Monday, Tuesday. So January, what is that, 2nd and 3rd?
Yeah.
Looks like a stormy day in Minnesota. So, you know, enjoy the mild conditions, a little bit of a cool off over the weekend, but generally mild winter conditions, nothing brutal. And then we get into possible winter storm on Monday and Tuesday. It's funny, two computer models that do the forecast, kind of the heavy lifting of the forecasting, have northeast Minnesota getting mist, and then the third model has northeast Minnesota getting about a foot and a half of snow. So that's why there's a little bit of uncertainty there.
I was looking myself, just even a cursory glance, and seeing pretty different forecasts. So that's why I was curious to ask. And it seems like so far you don't have a lot of answers. Does this mean like closer to Colorado or farther to the southwest, like in the Twin Cities in southern Minnesota, is more likely to get nailed with this?
Yeah. So, I mean, Colorado definitely, because that's where the storm is going to form. It's going to form somewhere between the eastern kind of front range area of Colorado and then probably even western Kansas or the panhandles of Texas and Oklahoma. It's a common breeding ground for winter storms that affect the upper Midwest. The real question is where it goes from there. If that low pressure center goes, say, to Chicago, that often puts it a little out of reach of northeastern Minnesota, just a little too far away. And instead, you might see southern Minnesota and parts of Wisconsin getting in on the heavier snow. On the other hand, if that low pressure system passes through southern Minnesota and goes into Wisconsin, that's kind of a prime track for northeastern Minnesota getting creamed. And in fact, when we look at all of the ranges and all of the models Some of them have the low going right up through Duluth, which would give northeastern Minnesota a mix of rain and sleet and ice and then snow. And then some of them are as far south as the Chicago area. So there's still a big range. So that's the part we don't know, is exactly where it's going to go. I think somewhere in Minnesota we'll probably get hit with wintry weather. It's just at this point, is it going to be the southern part, the northern part, the whole state? It's kind of up in the air.
Okay. So this brings me to my last question of the day for you, maybe, which is, I imagine Minnesota without Lake Superior, and I feel like it would, I don't know, is this instinct correct? When I see systems moving west and north, it seems like they get drawn toward the lake. Like there's the fact of it being water makes it all different. Is that true, or is that just my looking at it funny?
No, that's an excellent observation, and it's very close to being spot on.
Okay.
I mean, you know, so in meteorology and climatology, you know, there's certain laws that we have to obey, and one of the laws, which is really chaotic, is kind of like, you know, meteorology or the weather that you experience is really just the result of atmospheric processes.
Right.
And so in that way, anything could happen anywhere given the right conditions. You could have a tornado on the North Pole. You could theoretically have a snowstorm, you know, in southern Mexico, theoretically.
Okay.
If the right ingredients are in place, these things could happen. Now, climatology, of course, kind of tells us, well, you know, I haven't yet heard of any system capable of producing a tornado on the North Pole, or, you know, we have no evidence of either of those scenarios just yet. And with cyclones, these low-pressure systems, they do, you know, they could happen anywhere, they could go anywhere, and we've seen a wide variety of tracks and locations. But about six decades ago, climatologists started looking at this, and there are common breeding grounds, there are common dying grounds, and there are common intensification zones. And it is true, the Great Lakes is a common intensification zone for these cyclones or these low-pressure systems. So that L on the weather map maybe comes out of Colorado, or sometimes it even comes down from Alberta. A lot of times, these pass over the Great Lakes in either case, whether it's an Alberta clipper-type low-pressure system coming from the northwest or one of these Colorado lows, they often end up passing over the Great Lakes, and they often, not always, but they often will intensify there. And it's not exactly clear why. There's a lot of things going for that region beyond the lakes themselves. One is that once a low-pressure system gets there, it has access to both it's not far from the Atlantic Ocean, just several hundred miles to the east. It's got a nice feed of moisture from the Gulf of Mexico to the south, and those are two really powerful sources of energy. And then also, if the winds are coming out of the north, it has access to, you know, the Canadian tundra. And those kind of temperature differentials and moisture differences that's part of how cyclones intensify. And so it could be just that sort of location, but there's also a sense that there's something about the openness of the lakes, there's something about that water and some of the contrast it provides with the land that helps energize these systems too. So really good observation, Katya.
All right. So I imagine they're whipping into a frenzy over the Great Lakes, which is why Buffalo keeps getting nailed the worst, it seems like, happened last week.
Yeah, that area between the area between the Great Lakes and Hudson Bay gets some of the greatest winter storms in the world. They're just incredible.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kenny. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, we'll talk next week, and we'll recap however much snow falls in Minnesota. Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you on the other side.
All right. Sounds good. Bye-bye. That was Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR.